All right, welcome back. We're here with another exciting episode of the Smart Capital Podcast. I got an amazing guest with us today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? My name is Jason Francois. I am a PhD candidate studying electrical engineering at Florida A&M University. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, go Rattlers.
Hey, listen, man, electrical engineering, man, that's some serious stuff. So what did you do over the summer?
This summer, I was on an internship. So I was working for Honeywell. They got a location in Kansas City called Kansas City National Security Complex. Okay. So I work in the cybersecurity department in an organization called Nuclear Enterprise Assurance.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so that's dope. So how was the experience? Whatever you can tell us. That might be like,
yeah, you know, like,
whatever you can tell us from it, how was that?
Well, their tagline is that they make non-nuclear parts for nuclear weapons. So I'm in a building where I do research and development for like new stuff that's coming out in 5-10 years. So I do stuff like that.
So, I've been noticing that a lot of these like kind of nuclear places and stuff are like kind of like in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why that is, or
to be that way? I mean, it's called Nuclear Security Enterprise. They got a bunch of places. They got a bunch of places in California, Nevada. Okay. I just think it's just space, right? It's
more space. Cheaper land out there.
Yeah, not a like big population and stuff.
For sure.
And if maybe something goes, crazy, I think there's no space to mitigate any issues or anything like that.
That is true, because if we looked at it from a strategic standpoint, it's far to get to the Midwest, right?
Yeah,
so it's not like right on the coast. You'd have to come through a lot of America
Get there.
Either way, So yeah, it's probably like a strategic location where they can have it probably surrounded pretty easily.
Something like that. Who knows? But it's serious over there. They got security. It's locked down.
I'm sure.
No one can just walk up in there. No one can just walk up in there.
No, that's good, man. I'm sure that was an amazing experience, man. That's one thing that I tell people, a lot of times people don't realize, going to FAMU, you get a lot of great opportunities, man.
For sure.
Especially being in engineering, being in other areas, that are in high demand. There's a lot of great opportunities out there. So anybody, younger people listening who are considering, college, definitely consider FAMU. Definitely consider going into engineering and, just go ahead and better yourself, because there's a lot of great opportunities out there.
Yeah, and then electrical engineering is the best engineering out there. Just throwing out my 2 cents.
Now, my mechanical engineers and civil engineers, they might argue against that. But I'm always a big fan of electricians, because they help me a lot on my job. So
for sure, man.
So let's take a little shift, kind of go back to real estate.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about your real estate journey. So can you tell us about the first property you bought and kind of how you got into quote unquote house hacking?
Yeah, for sure. So I got a property over there on the north side, northwest Tallahassee, on Grimes Lane. Okay. And it's actually a 4-bedroom, 2-bath. And I actually converted one of the rooms and made it into another bedroom. It was a patio, and now it's a 5-bedroom.
Wow.
So the way I got into it, I feel like I've always kind of knew about real estate.
Right.
I've had a father figure down in South Florida that always poured into us and talked about real estate and stuff. And I just felt like it was the right opportunity. Oh, shoot, I'm getting cold. Sorry.
All good. We'll edit.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You're good.
He kind of poured into us, right? We were always playing Monopoly. We were paying cash flow, and it kind of just set us up.
Sure.
So in 2020, during the COVID-19, I saved up a bunch of money, right? I saved up maybe $20,000.
Okay.
My credit was good, and I was moving out of Seminole Grand, and I'm like, man, I don't want to stay in this apartment thing no more.
Yeah.
I had a cousin that was a real estate agent, and he's like, yo, think about getting a property, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think I was watching the Bigger Pockets podcast about house hacking. Yep. And I was like, I could do that, bro. I could do house hacking.
Right.
And it all just came together, right? So I went to the broker. I applied for a loan, and at first I got denied. So, it was a little discouraging.
Okay.
But then he came back to me. He's like, hey, bro, we approved it. You can go shopping now, type of thing.
Wow.
And so the interest rates were there. We found a nice property, got a pool and all.
Yeah.
And man, you got to come by. Come hang out. Yeah.
No, I'm definitely going down to go swimming, barbecuing, whatever.
Yeah, we do all that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so I acquired a property over there, 2020, locked in a good interest rate, 2.75%.
Wow. Amazing.
And I rented it out to my other roommates. So my best friend, my line brothers, and I kind of did it like that.
Okay, that's amazing, man. So, kind of just, we just for people who don't know, let's kind of just break down a little bit, what is house hacking and kind of how that works.
So house hacking, the way that I understand it, the way that I do it, so it's a little different from your traditional multi-unit.
Right.
All right. Instead of getting a twoplex, threeplex, fourplex, you get a regular house, whatever. Right. And you rent out the room. So I have a four-bedroom and two-bathroom. So I would stay in one room and rent out the other three bedrooms.
Right.
The going rate in Tallahassee is like $600, maybe a little higher if your house is really, really nice.
Give or take, right.
Yeah. So I would rent out each one for $600 for a total of $1,800. And my mortgage was $1,200 at the time.
Right.
And so I have $600 left over and I just pocket it.
For sure.
But I would use it for like other stuff, you know, for like vacancies, save it up and all that. And then we would all split the utilities.
Gotcha.
And that's basically how house hacking. So house hacking is a way to either get your mortgage covered or to pay really low on your mortgage.
Exactly. So that's one thing I suggest every person does, especially if you're a young single person, house hack. That's the easiest way because it's like skipping to a multifamily, right? So in Tallahassee, we're fortunate because we're in a college town, right? Yeah. So people are used to just renting a room.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very, very easy to rent out rooms. So if you live in Tallahassee and you're a young professional, the best thing you could do is buy a house and rent out the rooms to other people because literally you'd probably be living for free.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Basically.
Or very, very little expense, right?
Exactly.
So that's actually how I first started.
Okay.
I bought two properties at the same time, so it was a little bit different. But
okay, big money.
Let me talk about my personal property, right?
Okay.
So I bought, my first property was a duplex, and I just rented the whole thing out.
Okay.
But I bought them at the same time. I bought a duplex and a single family at the same time.
So you had the money for it, or had a mortgage?
I had the mortgage on both. I didn't buy them cash. I wish I had that type of money. I bought them both with mortgages, right?
Okay.
So I put 20% down on one and 3% down on one. So it was my FHA for my personal residence, right? Then, you know, but that was a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, right? Okay. So I had, you know, other rooms I could rent out. So I rented out one. And basically what I was renting out that one room for was covering my mortgage.
Oh, just one room?
Just one room. Only had to rent out one room to cover it, right? Then on my duplex, the surplus from that was also, could have paid my mortgage as well.
Yeah.
So I had kind of two ways to do it. So what I would tell everybody is that you basically can get, what you want to do is you want to do the math.
Yeah.
When I first started investing in real estate, it didn't make sense to buy multifamilies because the rents weren't high enough.
Mm.
So it actually made more mathematical sense to buy a single family and rent it out per room because you would end up with more cash flow at the end.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I did a calculation just like that, and the numbers just worked out. So I didn't just jump in. I did like you said. I calculated everything.
So that's one thing I want to emphasize to people listening, right? If you listen to Jason, you listen to other people that have been on the show, what do they always talk about? The numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
Real estate is a numbers game, mm-hmm. right? It's not about emotion. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not about the countertops. And the blah, blah, blah. It's about the numbers, right?
Yeah.
So when you find a property where the numbers work, you buy it. If it doesn't, you move on.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what helps you to make good decisions in real estate investing is sticking to the numbers.
Yeah, because you don't want to get an asset that can like take money out of your pocket. It becomes a liability at that point.
Exactly, exactly. And it can quickly do that, right? So house hacking is a great way to turn a single family property effectively into a multifamily.
Yes, for sure.
So it's like, it's literally a hack, right? So it's good stuff, man. So what are you working on? What's something you're working on now?
Well, actually, so the neighborhood that I'm on is actually like a cul-de-sac, like a dead end. And one of my neighbors, and this is why, like, when you like move into somewhere, like, you gotta like, they say love your neighbor and be cool with them.
Yes.
So there's an elderly lady across the street. I call her you know, grandma in Spanish, abuela, whatever. So she's from Honduras and all that, but she had to get knee surgery.
Uh-huh.
And so she moved with her family up to North Carolina. But we've been so cool. Like, you know, I mount her TV for her. I cut her grass. Right. And she'll cook for me and all that.
Yeah.
And she told me this. And I was like, well, you know, if you want, like, I'll be interested to buy your house. And she's like, I'll have it for you. You know, don't even worry about it. Like, right. you're the person I want to have the house.
Sure.
So right now I'm in negotiations. Actually, I'm way past negotiations.
Right.
I got the pre-approval. I got the funds.
Right.
And I got the appraisal inspection hold 9. And I'm actually going to be closing next Friday.
Wow.
Over there.
Wow. So yeah. So this will be property number 2.
Yeah. And it's actually right across the street from my current property.
Perfect.
So for this one, I had to put 10% down, but okay. I'm still going to move into this one
right.
and then rent out my last house.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. For like, yeah, the whole way. And exactly. then continue to house hack.
Exactly. You know? Same formula, right? So what I'm saying is that's a very, very repeatable formula, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of us get into commercials, some of us get into other things, but really you can really buy single family houses in house hack time after time after time after time and get you a nice little portfolio of single families and still create a lot of income,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
So that's a great strategy, especially if you're able to you were able to get some at lower interest rates. Fortunately, it looks like interest rates will go down shortly.
Yeah, so, the Fed had some type of meeting that they're cutting rates, yeah.
Yep. So we're looking at probably September, a rate drop. maybe another one in December, just kind of just seeing how things go. So we have some good times on the way, right? Mm-hmm. So hopefully, let's say that. Yeah. And it depended on how the elections go, you know, things could be very, very different.
Now I'm thinking about, I actually have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was telling you a little bit about this earlier. So there's another guy on my block.
Yep.
Actually, there might be two houses up for sale, but there's one guy. I reached out to him, and he's selling his place.
Yep.
And I was explaining to you, I'm about to close on this property right now, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, this might be another opportunity to get another house. You know, he said, you know, that he'll be, like, willing to sell it to me, but I'm like, I'm about to close on this house. All my money going here. I don't think I can get like another mortgage. So how can I go about that? How can I potentially go get the other house?
So for sure. So there's two ways to do that, right? So when you first start buying your properties, you know, you go to a bank, you get a traditional mortgage, you know, things like that, right? And that mortgage is going to be based on your job, your income, things along those lines, right? After you get past a certain amount of properties, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So what you have to do is you have to start looking at investment loans where it doesn't matter. It does not matter, you know, what you make. They're only looking at the income of the property.
Okay.
Right? So when you get to investment loans, they're going to loan you 80% of the value of the property.
Straight up.
Up to 80% or 70%, just depending on, you know, their tradition, their standards. Okay. So what you have to do is you have to be able to negotiate with the seller to be able to get down to that number, right? Now, there's two ways to do that. So you might say, okay, let's just use some even numbers so we can make it simple, right? Let's say the house is worth $100,000, yeah, but you know you only can get a loan for $70,000,
okay,
right? And let's say he wants to sell it for, let's just say $90,000,
okay,
right? So in your head, you're like, oh, man, I got to come up with $20,000.
Yeah, yeah.
But why not just ask him to hold a second mortgage for $20,000?
For $20,000?
For $20,000.
Okay.
And then you get the $70,000. He gets $70,000 right now. Then you pay him a little bit of money on that $20,000. And then when you get some money later, bam, you pay him off.
Okay.
So maybe like a 2-3 year or something like that, you know, some, because he might not need that whole $90,000 right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So a lot of times the people who are selling properties, they don't need all that money.
I mean, you know,
so if they can hold 20% or 30% or whatever back, that will help you get qualified for the loan. You get them the majority of the money right now. You pay them a little bit of interest on that money. And then later on down the line, once you get some more money, or when you sell the property, or you refinance it,
yeah,
you pay them out.
Pay them out just like that.
That's how it works.
You never knew that.
So that's the simplest way to do it, right? Another way to do it is get them to finance the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? So you might just say, look, can you just finance the whole deal for me?
Yeah,
and then, you know, after I get it rented out, get some income coming in, then I can go get what's called a DSCR loan.
Okay, I've seen that before.
So DSCR is basically just based on the income of the property, right? So you'll have to do the math. We'll go through the mathematical equations. You know, I tell everyone, real estate is math. So if you want to be really good at real estate, there is no getting around math, right?
Yeah.
You have to, you know, and you being an engineer, you know, it won't be a problem for you. But some people don't like math. But what I tell people is, if you don't like math, you don't like money. Because money is math.
Yeah, that's, no, you got to learn how to count.
You got to learn how to count.
Yeah,
you got to learn how to count. Or else someone's going to steal your money if you don't know how to count.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. It's just either way. So you take it that route. You go a DSCR loan. You pay them off. And you just make sure all the numbers are going to add up. So I'll show you kind of how to do that, how to have your coverage ratio, all those things like that, to make sure that you'll be able to qualify. Because what you want to learn, and this is just me giving you a general tip.
Okay.
What you want to learn is that, what are the standards for lenders? Right. What are the lender's criteria?
Well,
right?
they want to see like steady income. We're not. Oh yeah. Well, 2 years.
I'm talking about investment loans.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay. I don't know.
So with investment loans, what I'm saying, it's totally different, right? Yeah. So you're talking about personal loans.
Yeah.
Right?
Personal mortgage.
So with a personal mortgage, the guarantee is you. Mm. Right. They're giving you a loan based on how much money you make per month. So they're saying you make $10,000 per month, is using a even number. So we know that he can pay $3,000, $4,000 a month in bills and not be wiped out.
Yeah.
On an investment loan, they look at how much rent is coming in on this property.
Okay.
So if $2,000 a month, you're getting $2,000 a month in rent, they can feel comfortable loaning you about $1,400, $1,500 because they know that even if you don't get all the money, you still got enough money to cover the rent.
Okay.
Right? So they look at the rent and say, okay, he's getting $2,000 a month. We'll loan him the equivalent. So what you have to do is you have to kind of reverse engineer.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you're making, let's say, $2,500 a month on that, right? So you'll take your calculator, and what they'll do is you'll just get about like 70% of that.
70%.
So that whatever. So let's just say, hold on. Let's just
on that $2,000, that'll be $1,400.
Yeah. So yeah, $1,400, right?
Yeah.
And then you reverse engineer how much a $1,400 mortgage is in cash.
Shoot.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I mean, we need Excel for that, right? I don't need my calculator. We ain't that smart. You know what I'm saying? So you take it back. And that'll come up to, let's just say, you know, maybe 150, 160.
Okay.
Right? So.
And then do I go to the investment and ask for 150?
And they'll give you 150 or 160. That's what they'll give you. Oh, right? So it doesn't matter how much you owe the guy or how much you owe. Okay. They're going to loan you based on the income that's coming in from the property.
You give me some ideas, man.
So that's how you're able to get properties with no money. Okay. Right. Another way, obviously, you know, you can go out and pitch to some investors and just say, hey, look, you know, I'm raising money. I'm looking to buy, you know, this property. You know, if you loan me $20,000, I can pay you back $25,000, you know, in a year. Okay. Or whatever. You know, just kind of give them some type of proposal of how you can pay them back and just outline how you can pay them back. And bam, you got the down payment.
Don't they usually do that for commercial properties, like a performa? But they'll do it for residential properties?
You can do it for residential as well. So I'll certainly show you how to do performas. Okay. So what I'm saying is, you know, when you get into real estate investing, as you get to like the next level, as you're starting to go to, as Ricari is going to, other people, you know, on the show, it gets a lot more technical and a lot more mathematical.
I see.
Right? Now, over time, you know, obviously, you know, you being a smart person, you'll be able to do the numbers in your head. So, like, when I look at a property, I already know what the numbers are just in my head without having to write it all down.
Right.
But at first, you have to just understand the formulas. So, there's a lot of spreadsheets that you can get that effectively have all the formulas plugged in. So, it'll tell you exactly how much you can get based on this, 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 and this. And then you can determine how much rent I need to charge.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So, like, you ever wonder, like, when you go to an apartment complex, that are like, the rent is like $738 or something?
Yeah, exactly.
It's because they've gone through these formulas and they know exactly how much they need to charge to hit the number that they need to be able to sell the property or refinance the property at where they want it to.
Yeah, and they be raising the rents too.
They do. Yeah, I mean, it's the business, man. So, yeah, man. So, you know, definitely excited about this new endeavor. You know, I think it's something that's going to be great for you. I think you know, I certainly know you're going to be successful. What are some hobbies you like to do, man? What are some things outside of real estate? What are some things you like to do, man?
You know, I'm an outdoors type of guy. I like working out. I like kayaking. But I've really got into golfing, like, lately. I got some clubs, you know, a couple years ago. So I've been hitting the range and stuff. So, I mean, we could go out there if you're trying to do something.
Hey, listen, man. So we've been saying we were supposed to do it. Obviously, the tornado came. It was rough this summer. So we didn't get a chance to get out.
He keeps talking about it, but he won't come out there.
You know, hey, listen. I never claim to be good at golf. However, I will golf and I will hang out. I'll drink some brews.
Yeah.
And whatever. Just hang out on the golf course, right? So get ready for that, right? We're going to have a golf event sometime in the fall. We might wait for it to cool down a little bit when it's not quite as hot. Or we might do it while it's hot. It just depends, right? So to get ready for a golf event, going to be networking, you know, just hanging out, having a good time. We're going to actually bring someone out who's going to show you how to, you know, swing the clubs, how to golf. Just because it's a great sport, great for networking, great for opportunities.
Yeah, they say a lot of deals are made on the golf course. So, like, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, literally, and like I said, I'm a very poor golfer, but I've definitely made a lot of deals on a golf course, right? So it's definitely a great place to network. So before we go, let people know where can they find you?
If you can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn on Instagram, Jason, Jason underscore Fran on Instagram. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jason Francois. I got a TikTok, Jason Francois too, all that. Yeah, all that, just follow me.
So yeah, man, we really thank you for coming out and we'll see you on the next episode.
Peace.